The scripture reading for today comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 and 29. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we have this opportunity to come together and worship as a body, Lord. I pray that you would help us just to be focused today, that you would remove any distractions that we may be dealing with, just any stress that we may have, Lord, just that you would take all of that away. Help our hearts and our minds to be focused on you and on glorifying you. And I pray that you would speak through Pastor Ballinger. Just open our hearts, help us to hear this sermon, and not just to learn, Lord, but to grow from this, that you would help us to be able to apply it and grow closer to you and closer to Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, and I can tell you personally, I do not like preaching Mother's Day sermons. A lot of pressure there as a man. And today I'm going to preach a message that I did not realize it had been so long. It's been 5 years. I brought a message on this passage, the same topic. And I didn't know it was 5 years. And I went back and searched. I was like, it's been 5 years. It seems so fresh to me, I think because of the impact it had in my life, and I want to bring it back again today. Even when I told Lori, she goes, "Didn't you just preach that like last year or two?" I was like, "No, it's been 5 years." She's like, "Really?" And I was like, because we both remembered it. Proverbs 31, a very familiar passage, a very familiar Mother's Day passage. And as I go through this sermon today, there's going to be several verses throughout Proverbs 31 that I want to focus on, but it's really not maybe what you think, because I'm not going to really examine the Proverbs 31 woman. That's not going to be the focus. I'm going to look at the Proverbs 31 husband, who doesn't get quite the attention the woman does in this passage. The husband of Proverbs 31, and he is there, he is present in this passage. And for us as men, I even believe he's a biblical example for us. And I pray that as we go through these verses today, that is very encouraging to not only the men, but also to the moms as we honor you today with Mother's Day. And so we're going to look at Proverbs 31 and how the Proverbs 31 woman was blessed by her Proverbs 31 husband. Now, the temptation is for us to read this passage, which is, again, very familiar, and to think, well, this is just really for women. But we know that all Scripture is profitable, and this chapter we usually assume is more for the wives and the husbands, but this also benefits our daughters and our sons. So we need to kind of broaden our horizons when we look here at this passage in Proverbs 31, because at first glance, it appears just to be about a godly woman. Wonderful woman, especially in verses 10 through 31, but for us as husband is one that there is much for us to learn here as well. So in our study today of Proverbs 31, you cannot ignore the husband that is found here in Proverbs 31. So before we exhort our wives and our daughters to be Proverbs 31 women, we as men need to be Proverbs 31 husbands. That's important to hear. Before we exhort our wives and our daughters to be those Proverbs 31 women that we read about, we need to be the Proverbs 31 husband that we're going to read about today. But what man does not want a Proverbs 31 wife? But before we go to the wives, we're going to look at the husbands today. So happy Mother's Day, men. And what better way to encourage our daughters and our wives than being the godly man, the godly father, the godly husband in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our businesses. So let's look today at the Proverbs 31 husband. Because the story, we all know there's this, once was a man who was looking for the perfect woman, and when he found her, he could not have her. And the reason is she was looking for the perfect man. So, we have that dilemma. We all tend to want the other one to strive harder than we do, but we must look at our own life. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but this is the teaching here out of Proverbs 31. It's from King Lemuel, and it's really not his teaching, it's what his mother taught him. And most scholars would agree that the teaching here, that King Lemuel is actually the poetic name for King Solomon, which in that case would mean that it's his mother Bathsheba that is actually giving him this wisdom. And which would, and on a further note, it, many people believe that Bathsheba is actually probably even speaking about the story of Ruth when it comes to the Proverbs 31 woman. So there's a little history on that part. But I want us to look at some of the direct teachings here that were first given to King Lemuel by his mother. Again, these are words of wisdom for all of us men, and I would guess that our wives would desire for us as husbands to be this kind of man, a man with the qualities and godliness of the man of Proverbs 31 that we see. Because if you're that husband, you're attractive. If you're that wife, you're attractive. Because a Proverbs 31 woman and a Proverbs 31 husband are godly if they live like we read that this woman and this man did. So the first thing that we see in Proverbs 31 verse 1 is that the husband, the Proverbs 31, that's the P31. That's what that means in your outline there. And so that's not some secret church code or anything. That just means Proverbs 31 husband, okay? He received wisdom even from another woman. Verse 1 says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. You know, the way that God has designed headship does not mean that women have no wisdom. It would be beneficial for a grown man to consider the wise advice of his wife or even his mom or even later in life, his own daughter. Now, that doesn't mean that he is bound to her in that sense, because he is certainly the head. But it is foolish for a man to think that a woman does not have wisdom. So if the advice is wise, certainly if it's scriptural, why would he not want to hear the wisdom of his wife? Again, ultimately he is the head and he is accountable for his decisions. But a man would be a fool to consistently ignore the promptings from God through his wife, or through his mother in the case here of King Solomon, or even sometime in the future through his older daughter. Now, it goes two ways here also. A man would be wise to consider the wisdom she has to offer, but a woman would be unwise to think that this means that she always needs to be telling her husband what to do. It's not. That's the other extreme. There are verses in Proverbs that address that kind of woman, and they refer to her as a continual dripping. An illustration I heard about 15, 16 years ago, and I think I've shared it here before, but it's one that just kind of impacted me. And someone said the marriage relationship is like a pilot and his radar. And the pilot is the one who flies the plane. He controls the plane. He has everything there at his disposal to operate the plane. But a wise pilot will have a radar system in place, and with that radar system in place, that radar will detect things that the pilot cannot see naturally. Things that he doesn't know are on the horizon. Things that he does not know are in the clouds. And the radar will go off and warn this pilot of things that are up ahead. Now, a wise pilot will listen to that radar and go, there is something I do not see. The radar is telling me I must trust the radar and make adjustments accordingly. Now, however, if that radar is broken and it's always going off, telling, you know, every 5 minutes, warning him of something, and it not being there, eventually he will just not listen to the radar anymore, because it's always going off, always going off. So there's a great marriage relationship in the sense that the husband is flying the plane, and if he's a wise husband and he has a wise wife who knows her places as the radar, here's something that you may want to consider. I see a danger here that you may not see. Do you see the great relationship that a husband and wife can have if they both understand their God-given roles and how a man can listen to the wisdom of his wife? And so we see that here with King Lemuel saying, listen, these are things that my mom has taught me. And so God will use godly women in our life, your mom, your wife, maybe your daughter, to make us better men. And the godly woman will see to it that she's not a broken radar or a continual drip, being a burden instead of a helpmeet. But if this husband is wise, he will realize the blessing of the wisdom that he can have from his wife. Look at verse 2 through 5. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now, the second thing we learn here is that the Proverbs 31 husband avoids questionable behavior and temptations. Now, there's a few things that are, there's actually a couple of things here that are specifically mentioned here in verses 2 through 5. And the first one is adultery. Give not thy strength unto women. The broad sense here is this word includes the adulteress. Bathsheba, of all women, knows what heartache adultery brings to a family, even to a nation. She tells her son to stay away from the temptation and the enticement of the adulterous woman here. She's talking, it seems like, from experience. So Solomon, now he's already covered this sin in many chapters in the book of Proverbs. Now, for fathers, the strange woman, the harlot, the adulteress, is deceitfully attractive, but is full of death. I mean, she can be the lady who lives next door, the lady at your workplace, the lady on your computer, or the lady that's in your imagination. But she's always to be avoided. The Bible says, flee her temptation. Adultery destroys marriages and families and can even destroy a nation. So we are to flee from it, men. Instead, we are to treasure our wife and to be a Proverbs 31 husband to her. The second temptation that she warns of to her son is alcohol. It's a great source of temptation to many. It doesn't mean that it always leads to drunkenness, which is a sin, because alcohol is not forbidden in the Scriptures. Drunkenness is a sin, though. But what it does do, it does open a door that for some people they cannot ever shut. And that's the warning here. You may, by delving into alcohol, you may start a fire that you cannot put out. So be careful of that temptation of alcohol. Proverbs 31 husband needs to be on his guard against the temptations that strong drink can bring. And then in turn, we are to equip our children to also be on guard. Handle it like fire. It can be very deadly for some people. And so the warning here in verses 2 through 5 is to stay away from the adulteress and to be very guarded when it comes to alcohol. The third one, look at verse 8 here. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. The Proverbs 31 husband speaks up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. Men, what most women find attractive is a husband who in his tenderness and his compassion cares for those who cannot care for themselves. He comes to the aid of the helpless and the hopeless. Today, that can be a variety of people. It can be the unborn child. It can be the widowed mother, the single mom, the elderly, those in nursing homes, those who are destitute, those who are lame. There's a whole variety of people out there that are helpless, in a sense, on their own. And compassion and care of these people, those who cannot open the mouth themselves to speak for themselves, those types of people, having that compassion and care for them is something that we see in Christ as He walked this earth. It's something we see in Proverbs 31 husband as well. Look at verse 9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Along the same lines here, but the Proverbs 31 husband speaks up for the poor, who would fall in the same category as verse 8. People who can't really do anything for themselves. He says the Proverbs 31 husband speaks up for the poor. He reaches out to others. Now, he doesn't do this at the expense of his own marriage or at the expense of his own family. Because he obviously, the Proverbs 31 husband, already has his house in order. And he is consistently ministering to his own family. And therefore, it allows him to be able to minister to others. Now, there are those men out there who would rather care for and invest in others than they would their own family. But the Proverbs 31 husband doesn't do that. He does it with the blessing and the participation of his family. And we see that in verse 20, where the Proverbs 31 woman also ministers to the poor. And where do you think she gets that encouragement from? It has to be her husband who's doing the same thing, ministering to the poor. There are a family, a marriage union that reaches out to the poor. The husband is leading it, though. Proverbs 31 husband also realizes the value of his wife. In verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? You know, one thing that makes the marriage between the Proverbs 31 husband and the Proverbs 31 woman so wonderful is there is a great appreciation by the husband for the value of his wife. Now, let me explain something here. A caramel. That's when you say common and carnal together. We don't need caramel wives. But a common and carnal response by men would be, well, if my wife acted like a Proverbs 31 woman, then I would be the Proverbs 31 husband. It's almost that if you do this, then I'll do that. And a lot of times men will take that response and Christian men will say that. If my wife would do this, then I would be that type of husband. But she doesn't. She's not like the Proverbs 31 woman. So therefore, I have to make adjustments and be someone that I'm not supposed to be. That is one of the lamest excuses for godly living. But that would be the natural man's response. But for the godly husband, his response will be like the Proverbs 31 husband's response. Because the Proverbs 31 husband does not value his wife based on her actions or her behavior. I want you to notice that. He doesn't value her based on her performance. But instead, he sees her as a gift and a treasure from the Lord. Now, obviously, she does do a lot of great things. But what we have to remember is that the Scriptures tell us, men, that we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Now, did Christ love us first based on our actions and our behavior? No. In fact, He loved us in spite of our actions and our behaviors. So how much more should we, who are imperfect and sinful, be gracious in loving our sinful wife and valuing her as she is, not based on her performance? And so when we see the Scriptures here, we have to value our wives, period, not based on their behavior and how well they do things. And a little secret, I tend to believe that if your wife feels valued by you, by the way she is right now, the chances of you seeing more of a Proverbs 31 woman will greatly increase in your life because your wife desires to be valued by you. And number six there in your outline, the Proverbs 31 husband trusts his faithful wife. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now we have to understand something here. This husband trusts his wife. Now unlike love, trust is a conditional response for the most part. And in grasping this truth, we often have the two extremes here. But it says here, notice what I said in your outline there. He trusts his faithful wife. Because faithfulness is what builds trust. And trust can be destroyed in seconds, but take years to build. And faithfulness manifests itself in all kinds of forms in the marriage relationships, not just the fidelity part of it. There's to be faithfulness in handling finances and training children and not being a gossip. And you can break trust and build trust in many different ways. that if a wife has been unfaithful in handling money, it will be hard for her husband to continue to trust her with finances. It doesn't mean he loves her less, but trust is built on faithfulness, and it is conditional. Doesn't mean he quits loving his wife if she blows a bunch of money, but it does mean he will not be able to trust her with finances. So the point here is that the Proverbs 31 husband trusts his faithful wife. But what enables this in the fact that she is faithful, again, there are the extremes here. There are some women who expect to be trusted while their behavior in their past has been really untrustworthy. It's going to be hard for a husband to do that. As I said, just using the finances as an example, if he understands that he is to be a steward of finances the Lord has blessed him with, and she is the opposite, it's going to be hard. The other extreme is that there are wives who are trustworthy, who have been consistently faithful in many areas, and yet the husband still does not trust her. Why? Well, honestly, many times he can just be a control freak and want to control everything. It's not that she's done anything untrustworthy. The issue is him. Maybe he's a manipulator. Maybe he's fearful and just keeps walls up and keeps everyone out, keeps them at arm's length from his life, including his own wife. And men, if this is you, it is a burdensome way for your family to live. Take it to the Lord. Let him free you so that you can enjoy your faithful wife and live trusting her. And I think a lot of times this tends to be the second extreme, tends to be the one that maybe we as conservative Christians will fall into, is that we will have very trustworthy wives, but we will not trust them, even though they have been faithful in many areas. And the real reason is because it's us. We're the problem. We need to be on the same page here and allow our wife to be used as God has blessed her. So when you trust, you create an environment for her to be what God has called her to be. And she can blossom into that Proverbs 31 wife that you've always wanted. But if you don't trust your faithful wife, she stays emotionally locked up, unable to thrive, and cannot become the wife that you've always dreamed of. So the challenge here for us, the encouragement here, is for us as men to really trust and value our faithful wives. Look at number 7. The Proverbs 31 husband provides for his wife and family. Now this might be the most obvious of all things for us as men. We are known as the providers. So look at verses 12 through 20. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and she bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Now, it's true that this Proverbs 31 woman is a hard worker. In fact, she puts probably a lot of men to shame. She generates additional income for the family. We see that here. But the Proverbs 31 husband is her support. He has provided faithfully for her on his end. And what it has done, it has freed her to bring in additional income and savings to her family. It has allowed her to be a fruitful contributor in a unique way. There's no evidence here that she has to do all this. It seems to be a heart motivation that she has, and that's the tone that this passage implies, that she desires to make her husband's money go further and to better her family. But here's the key. He has freed her to be a blessing, not only to her own family, but even to those that are under her, her handmaids, even the poor. And she has done so. Here's the neat thing. She's done so without ever having to leave his headship. But a lazy and unmotivated husband makes a wife feel very insecure, like it is all on her. It is not a joy. It is a task for her to be under him. And I'm not talking about income levels here. I've seen wives whose husbands make a lot less money than most, but there is a security and a contentment in their home, and the wife is delightful in spite of the fact there not being a lot of finances. I've also seen husbands who, although they may be doing well financially and making a good income, but generally they're just kind of lazy and unmotivated, and it brings insecurity and heartache to their families because maybe their work ethic and the way they spend their money and the things that they're waiting on to make it big in life becomes an insecurity to their wife. About 20 years ago, I guess, there was this family, because Thomas was about 4 or 5. There was this family that Lori and I knew, and the husband, a smart man, was laid off from his job. Nothing that he did, it was just a downsizing thing. But there was a level of pride that we began to see, because for years he refused to go to work for anything less than this ideal that he had in his mind. He wanted to pick right back up with the income that he was had before he got laid off. And what was happening is he started turning down, decent jobs. It certainly wasn't the money that he was making before, but what happened is he never went back to work until he found this certain level of income. Well, a month led to 2 months, and next thing you know, some years have gone by to the point he goes and sends his wife to work until he finds that perfect job where he was making at least the amount or even greater than what he had before he was laid off. And so what happened was this wife was burdened with the task of having to go to work because he was lazy and would not work for a lesser income, at least to be able to keep his wife home with their child. And so in that case, he was not really protecting his family. He was sending his wife out to do what he should have been doing all along. But the Proverbs 31 husband is not like that. He provides for his wife and children. And what happens is it frees them to be able to do things that are even ministry driven. And so we see that with the Proverbs 31 woman, how she was a great blessing to so many others. She was able to be generous to the poor because he was faithful and a hard worker. Look at number 8. The Proverbs 31 husband's character is well known. In verse 23, it says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." Now here we have a man who lives honorably. He cares about what's going on in his community, but not at the neglect of his home or his marriage. He's a man among the people, obviously has influence. He's known in the gates. Now the gates were where the official business was conducted. Maybe somewhat like a city hall or a courthouse would be today. And it's obviously that he was respected not just for his leadership, but also there was respect because of the family that he had. This couple really was a great team, privately and publicly. Now, that does not mean, men, that you quit your job and go apply at city hall tomorrow. That's not what this verse is teaching. But what we as men can take from this is that whatever area of influence that you have, wherever God has planted you, whether it's in city hall or it's a factory or it's an office or the military, wherever God has you right now, be known in those places as a man of character, a man who leads his family. And what we learn from this is that you can't do this, though, and be a hypocrite. It's not about having a nice public life and then this secret private life of sin and hatred and abuse and passivity and all these other things. This isn't about smiling at church on Sunday and yelling at your wife on Monday. Don't be pleasant at work during the day to your coworkers and come home and verbally abuse your children or your wife. This is not about being a man who is known one way at work and then a whole completely different way at home. That is a bully. That is a coward. That is a hypocrite. You'll lose your children too. But the Proverbs 31 man has kids who love him, and they even love their mom. They don't live in fear, but they really enjoy their family life. These aren't kids who are wishing they were in a different family. They have a family where dad is a man of character and mom is a woman who lives honorably, and dad is leading the way. He's not an angry man. He's not a lustful man. He's not a bitter man. But he is a man who is a joy to be with. He's not home wasting hours in front of the TV or playing video games all week long or losing himself in frivolous hobbies. He is actually investing in his family. He would rather be with his family than with his buddies. And because what he's doing at home has carried over into all aspects of his life, the elders, the city that he's in, even has respect for him. He is an honorable man. He has not spent hours upon hours wasting away time when he could be with his family. And what God has done is he has enlarged his borders to be able to be an influence to those that are in his realm. Here, the city specifically has been impacted by this Proverbs 31 husband. Number 9, the Proverbs 31 husband leads a home of joy and laughter. Look at verse 25, the second part. It says, "And she shall rejoice in time to come." Now the Hebrew word here means to laugh. It even refers to playing. A wife who has the freedom to laugh and to play and relax, in a sense, enjoys being married to her husband. Now, I realize that rejoice may sound a little bit more spiritual. Rejoice sounds a lot more spiritual than the word laugh or play. But some people think that, well, it's not very spiritual to laugh. But that's not true. We know in hell there is no laughter. But that's hell. This is not hell. We live in an earth. We live in this world here that God has blessed us even with things that are humorous. Things that you can laugh at and enjoy and relax and play. But here's the thing. I'm not talking about taking it to an extreme. But fathers, think about this. Is your home full of joy and even laughter? I'm not talking that you have to be a comedian or that you have to be funny. But I'm talking about a home where the love is so abundant and the confidence in God and His sovereignty is so great that laughter can come easily. People aren't all tight and locked up emotionally where none of this can happen. But I want you to understand that laughter is not the goal. Don't go home and start reading jokes to your kids. That's not what this is about. Laughter is not the goal, but it's a result of a joyful spirit that comes because you're resting in Christ. And years ago, I preached a sermon and shared some observations concerning specifically homeschool families that have children who are leaving the faith. And one of those common denominators in many of those families was there seems to be a lack of joy where the rules kind of trump the relationship and where laughter and smiling is seldom. And even in some cases where people I personally knew almost made it unspiritual. But it's not. But we as dads need to create an atmosphere in our homes where you love mom so much that it just spills over into security for the children who can even laugh easily because there's no tension in your home. And the timetable here in this verse, "and she shall rejoice in time to come," this is a wife who is looking forward to the future. Looking forward to days being with her husband. Looking forward to years and decades for a life together. Her tomorrows are not dreaded. There is actually joy in her future. How can a wife look to the future with a smile and with joy and with laughter like this wife did? Well, she had a husband who delights in her. She loves being his wife. Now, could she do that if he always yells at her or is abusive to her? No. What about if he was critical to her? No. What if he's addicted to work or pornography or some other sin? No. But unfortunately, many Christian marriages are not like this Proverbs 31 husband and his wife. But instead, their future is looked upon with dread. They're just kind of trying to get through the next 10 years. Somehow, let me just see how I can make it. It's a task. It's dreaded. But our Christian marriages should be the opposite. Our home should be where the husband is leading and the environment he has created has caused his wife to anticipate the future with joy and laughter. She can't wait for the next 20 years together with him. Even looking forward to times where there's rejoicing and playfulness, as the Hebrew word it refers to. Two people who delight in each other, and not only has their family benefited, but even their city has benefited from their marriage and their family. What an eternal impact this one couple has had. Let's look at the last one. Number 10, the Proverbs 31 husband praises his wife. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There's two places here where the husband praises his wife. The first place is in front of their children. And the second place is personally. It's to her face. I mean, this guy knows how to give a compliment. In verse 29, the husband does not deny the fact that there are other virtuous women out there. He says, I know there's a lot of good women out there. But honey, you're the best of all of them. We need to compliment our wives. We need to do this in front of others, especially our children. And doing so will increase your children's respect for their mom. It did this for the Proverbs 31 woman. Not only did her husband praise her, but her children blessed her. Where do you think the children learned that from? They learned it from him. The Proverbs 31 husband didn't say, now children, let's praise your mother for her diligence and humility. No. He wasn't saying, you have to do this. They took their cues from dad. The kids learned it from dad. The opposite applies as well. When there is a critical spirit towards your wife, your kids are going to learn that as well. I remember seeing, I was behind a car, I think I was coming here to church one day. It's when we lived in town, and there was a sticker. You know how people have those stick families on the back of their cars, those little stick figures, and mom and dad and kids and five dogs or whatever they do. And well, one just, we were behind and we were like, oh, this is sad. It showed the man and the wife and the kids, and on top of the wife was the circle with the line through it. Like, mom's not there and we don't want her there type of thing. It was real disrespectful to see it. And I'm assuming it was a divorce situation or something like that, but that, I assume the husband was driving. He was sending a message that the wife is not valued, even as a mom to the children. You know, we as men need to compliment our wives, and they take care of so many things for us. And I don't want you men to worry, but you're never going to overdo it in this area. You're not ever going to overpraise your wife. It is impossible to do. I don't know in human history, has there ever been a wife say, honey, would you please quit praising me and telling me I'm beautiful and that you love me? Would you please quit? Just come home and read the paper and grunt when you want something to eat. That's all I'm asking. You don't hear that. You cannot overpraise your wife. You cannot overdo it. And now these compliments and encouragements, they have to be real. They have to be from your heart. And if you have to, just find one thing every day and praise your wife or thank your wife for. And do so in front of the kids. One of the best things you as a dad can do is love and praise your wife in front of your children. It will be remembered for generations. And the purpose to quit doing the opposite, which is being critical or quarreling or nitpicking over every little thing, is nobody really wins arguments. Nobody wins fights and quarrels. And so men, we need to quit trying to win an argument. In most cases, your wife just wants to be heard, so we need to listen. And one way to see quarrels and arguing disappear in your home is to replace it with praise and encouragement. If you're going to get in each other's face, let it be because you can't stand another minute without telling her how great she is. And this is for anyone who likes to argue or is argumentative. If you want it to end, humble yourself and just lose the argument. Jesus said you win by losing. First shall be last, last first. But many times our pride, man, keeps us going and we want to win. We want to prove who's boss. You don't lead that way by proving. If you're having to tell everybody you're in charge, you're probably not in charge. lead by example. Let's praise and encourage our wives, not just today, but every day that the Lord blesses us with their presence and the value that they are to us. Words are very powerful. Proverbs 18 says they bring life or death. They build up or they tear down. They bring healing or destruction. They encourage or they discourage. I notice something here. If you, in Proverbs 31:29, he doesn't say, my wife excels past all of them. He doesn't say that. Look at verse 29. He doesn't say, my wife excels past all of them. He says, you excel. He is telling her that. You can brag all day to your friends at work about how great your wife is, but your wife needs to hear it. He's talking to her. He is praising her to her face. You excel past them all. She is being told how valuable she is, how wonderful she is, and she's being told to her face. We need to publicly and privately do that with our wives. So how do we men get a Proverbs 31 wife? Well, we first start by becoming a Proverbs 31 husband. And we have a role model. And it's found right here in Proverbs 31. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, again, the great benefit, the blessing, the magnitude of truth and learning we get from the Scriptures, and how we can see our life change, how the Word converts our soul. And Lord, if the Word is powerful enough to convert our soul, we know that there is power and strength in the name of Jesus through the written Word to even change our behavior as believers. So may we quit thinking of excuses. May we quit blaming our wives. May we be so in love with Jesus that we see our wife as a sister in Christ, part of the bride of Christ, to love her, to value her, to praise her, to be the man that we are supposed to be, to lead our homes, to lead our families, to lead our wives. Lord, I ask that you would help us as men, because it is a struggle. It is hard. The flesh is always battling. And Father, we know that you have blessed us. It is good for a man to have a wife. And Father, we know that relationships are hard, though. When two sinners join together to spend the rest of their lives together, it gets messy. But it's not impossible, and obviously it can be a great blessing as you intended. But Father, the greatest thing is for each of us in here to be in love with Jesus first. To be so in love with Christ, Lord, that there is an outflow of Christ in all our actions. Not just with the outside world that is lost, but even with our family and our wives. To be loving as Jesus was to those who are closest to us. And that often is the hardest. But Father, may we live that way as men and women, as children. Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.